What's up, everybody? You know what happens on Mondays, then now you get something from the archives. Enjoy this week's inspiring motivational interview, and we will catch you later on in the week as we start to share with you some of the best tools and tactics, everything having to do with sales. Let's go. Hey, Sharks, welcome to the show. So many of you know, I wrote my book in 2016 when I was in hospitals, and I was really reaching out for that part of me that was missing. And I stumbled across a man through the Entrepreneurs Organization and everything online. And his name's Martin. And Martin's on the show today because he is the master of perfecting habits. And he really opened up to me back in the day about how our habits are formed, who we are as human beings, and why it all matters. So I brought him on. He's going to teach us everything we need to know today, and we're going to learn a little bit more about who he is behind the entrepreneur, the best-selling author, and the guy who's designed a very popular app. So, Martin, welcome to the show.
Thank you so much for that great intro, and I cannot believe it's been since 2016. Seems like right? Just yesterday.
Yeah, right? Like 4 friggin' years. My time flies. So tell us in your words, you know, because the bio I give will never do justice. So can you just tell us a little bit more for the Sharks who don't know you yet, who you are and what you do?
So, yeah, my name is Martin Grunberg. What I do is I'm an entrepreneur. And in my spare time, I write books on topics that interest me quite a bit. One, of course, is called The Habit Factor. The other is The Pressure Paradox. The one I'm working on now is top secret. So we're keeping that on the D-low. I have been married 20 plus years. So the man, I guess, behind the entrepreneur, 20 plus years of marriage, 2 daughters, 19 and 17, which is insane to me. And again, I run a basically relatively small IT firm and do my Habits to Goals podcast as well. So I'm keeping fairly busy.
Yeah. And I mean, I've followed your journey, obviously, through Facebook and stuff. And I'm always just inspired. You did slacklining, which for those of you who don't know, and I'm probably pronouncing it wrong, this guy can put like what looks like stretchy tape between 2 poles and bounce up and down on it on 1 foot. Like I've never seen anything like it. It's insane. And you're a surfer and you've done rim to rim to rim.
Correct.
So let's get real then. So, I mean, father, husband, entrepreneur, book writer, podcast host, slackliner, surfer, rim to rim to rim athlete. Where were you when things weren't so perfect? Because they seem pretty glossy to me.
Yeah, it's very glossy. I think that the most important story, and I actually thought I was going to share a different one. We may get there, we may not. But the, probably the most important story is the one that kind of launched the Habit Factor. So at 35, and I believe you know this, 35, even though the company was doing fairly well, we had 20 some odd employees, had a couple newborns, and I felt very lost in a sense. And so incredibly, what shifted everything for me was asking a couple very key questions. And it wasn't like a major depression. It was just like, I'm not tapping into my full potential. And I went down this road of not just the bucket list exercise, you know, the things you kind of want to do before you die, but the obituary exercise. And these were profound experiences to go through them. For instance, the real big question was, if you were to die tomorrow, this is the conversation I'm having with me, what would you most regret not doing, you know, experiencing, creating, having? And at the very top of the list was this, it was a bit confounding to me, frankly, but it was this paddleboard race. Something I dreamt about when I was 18, and all of a sudden I'm having this major awakening and I'm 35. So 17 years just blew by. And this paddleboard race is you start on Catalina and you lay on a board and with your arms and sometimes you're on your knees, sometimes you're always using your arms, but you're either on your chest or your knees. You paddle from Catalina to Manhattan Beach, which is in LA. And it was always this fantasy dream goal. And I convinced myself that if I didn't sign up like tomorrow, like right away, I was never going to be able to entertain that goal. And something very profound happened. And next thing I knew, I was in front of a computer downstairs and I was researching it. I didn't even own a paddleboard. And I signed up. I paid the few hundred dollars. And then I was like, holy crud. I don't know what language we can use here. So I was scrambling to buy a paddleboard, learn the process, what it was going to take to paddle 32 miles, knowing that I've never paddled a mile. So that was one of the darkest moments in my life, which now I can look back on and say, wow, you know, what a fortunate experience, because it birthed all that came after that. And a lot of it was the habit factor itself. So,
Well, let me ask, did you have something where you were coming to grips with your mortality, or was it just like this birthing of an idea?
It was the emptiness. Like you kind of look at yourself and you're like, you're going through the motions. You're not, this isn't who I, and I didn't understand it all at the time. I really, really didn't. And I'm sure it was a process. I make it all about that one moment, but I'm sure it was a process of months and months. And I'm probably making it more dramatic than it needs to be. But it got to a point where I'm like, you're more than this. You can do more. I can't articulate it, I'm sure, totally. But I do sense, and I have for the last 10 years since the book has come out and since I've been helping people, that it's a common feeling, like not feeling like you're tapping your full potential and not knowing what the process is or you know, how to begin and how to go about it.
Yeah. I mean, that's why I'm in business, right? Is because we all know what it's like when we have that look in the mirror and we're like, we're doing well, you know? And that's the thing about potential is most of us who crave that moreness, if we're going to word it like that, they're doing relatively well. It's just, there's that hole inside their heart and they don't know what's missing in it. And for some it's, you know, the bucket list and paddling, which by the way, very impressive. And then for others of us, it's a totally different way in which it transpires. Bring me back. When you set that goal, the thing that is like, so we set goals all the time, right? We tell each other, or we tell ourselves, we tell each other, hey, this is what we want to do on our life path. And then something happens where there's somebody in our network who doesn't support it, or they give us that doubt. So the second we materialize it, we've got that doubt. How did you push through that?
I love the question. So first of all, I was so terrified by the challenge. I was really fortunate in hindsight again. So I was so terrified by it. The last thing I did was tell anybody. The only person who knew was my wife. Mm-hmm. I wouldn't have even told her if I wasn't living with her and she wasn't going to see the expense of a paddleboard and me disappearing for hours at a time training. So really, I mean, even my best of friends didn't know. And that's how I overcame it, because for me, and there's some studies out there that prove this is the case, it wasn't about talking about it. It wasn't about getting some social peer pressure. It, for me, it was just about going to work, and staying after it. So I didn't post it on Facebook. I didn't tell anybody, again, some of my closest friends. And I did the same thing with when I went to write the book as well. I just kept it very, very private.
Yeah. I once heard this theory, whatever, that you should never tell anyone your ideas until you are 100% confident in your capability of pursuing that idea, because the second you open it up and you share it. So let's say I tell you I have this idea of losing 20 pounds, right? And this is what I'm going to do because I want to compete in a Spartan race. The second I tell you that, Martin, you're going to say, well, have you thought of XYZ? And just the sheer, if I'm not congruent in who I am and what I believe, the thought of whatever the XYZ statement is that you're about to make will be so strong that it will limit my experience of having and going after that goal, because now I've got somebody else's interpretation of what they think is possible in my mind. And so I don't know the science behind what you're saying, but I can definitely relate to the bigger picture. And then, so you're telling people, you're telling your wife, you're getting permission, which very smart of you. My least favorite thing is when Jeff comes home with a great idea and I'm like, wait, where'd this happen? Like, I needed communication.
Right.
And now it comes time to setting those habits and setting those foundations. What did you learn about habits along the way?
Well, yeah, that's a softball. But let me go back to one other thing about sharing the goal. Yes. So in it, you can find it in a TED Talk. And I mean, just everybody in general, I'm trying to remember, I think it's Derek Sivers, if I'm not mistaken. But the one thing that happens, it seems to be proven, is that when you say you are going to do something, you actually somehow get this self-gratification as though you have done it. It's very bizarre. But so if I say, you know, I'm going to run a marathon in 6 months, I feel good about that because I just said it. And you end up actually being less likely to perform it. But let me go back to your last question. So that was really the bizarre gem of this challenge or goal I put before myself, because I started saying, holy crap, how am I going to do this? I have no idea. And I had to quickly devise a plan, because I had also had random goals like running a marathon, mm-hmm. or doing something, and never really achieved them. And so I put down this plan after I paid, totally committed, I'm all in. And I just stared at this piece of paper going, what do you have to do? And I began to realize over time that by tracking core-related behaviors / habits, I was on the path to completing or / achieving my goal. So that was the big aha. It wasn't about a to-do list. It wasn't buy a paddleboard, find a trainer, you know, start running. It was, I'm going to run 3 times a week for 20 minutes to build up the cardio. I'm going to paddle 3 times a week at first for 15 minutes, then for 30 minutes. You know, so each, what I would use and what I recommend and teach is 4-week tracking periods, 28 days. So you identify 3 to 5 core related behaviors, which are habits, mm-hmm. that are going to promote and accelerate you toward your goal. So it could be eating salads, you know, whatever it is, you figure out what the rhythm per week is, what the target days in the week are, and what the, what we call minimum success criteria are. So when it came to write the book, I followed the exact same process. I figured out I still wanted to actually run to keep my energy high. I wanted to drink water. I was tracking that, and I was tracking and developing the writing habit. So it started 20 minutes, 3 times a week. By the time the book was done, it was like 4 or 5 times a week, and it was upwards of 60 minutes. So,
okay. So let's go full out on this. What do you do? Okay. So let's say I have a goal, which by the way, I do, and I have not actually told anyone about it. So this is very timely. I didn't know this is where this conversation was going to go, but I have a goal currently that I've been slowly working towards for about a month, and it'll materialize roughly in August. And I sometimes, not to put myself under the bus, but sometimes I and faced with that decision, do I work on this right now or not? Even though it's slated on my calendar, I have designated time, but I have this thought, just don't fucking feel like it right now. What do I do?
So in my mind, that's another softball. So one of the core ideas with the habit factor is you can have your calendar, and that's a great way to do it, and you can have your to-do list. But if you're really truly dedicated to the goal, you have either, and the app is free, or this free tracking sheet, and you have your target days. So the easy statement would be, are you...
Whoa.
Oh, see that?
Yeah.
She likes where I'm going here.
She, gosh, I don't think I've seen her that excited about a habit before. carry on. We don't edit anything out, so Chanel's just welcome to make her appearance.
The first question I'd just say, are you tracking the core related habits that are going to help you achieve your goal? You're saying in August, but rather than be tied to that time frame, the first question I'd have is, are you tracking your habits?
Probably not as well as I should be.
Okay. So yeah. So for the listener, the idea is you have, I tape the tracking sheet often to my desk, mm-hmm. and you see Monday, you see Tuesday, you see Wednesday. And so if you just don't feel like it, or something just unexpected comes up, Monday all of a sudden is a zero instead of a one. So you were going to write, let's just say it was write for 20 minutes on Monday. It was a target day. And then Monday comes up at the zero. The good news is Tuesday might not have been a target day, so you can make it up Tuesday.
So perhaps it's a point system.
Or Wednesday or Thursday. Yeah, the idea is there's a frequency per week. Let's say it's 4 times, and the minimum success criteria is 20 minutes. So you have 4 days that are target days in any given week, yet you and I both know we have 7 days. So you miss a couple target days, you can make them up. And so at the end of the week, you're like, wow, good. I'm still at 100%.
Okay. And the 20 minutes is scientifically based, or is that just what you should want to do?
No, that is, so the 20 minutes is what it's based on this term called minimum success criteria, meaning you want to set the bar so low that you have success during your first month or week of tracking. So if I've never written a book and I've never been a writer, I might only be 10 minutes. If I don't drink a lot of water, and my goal, my target for the week is 6 times a week to have 8 glasses, right?
Right.
I might not try to start. My minimum success criteria would not be 8 glasses. It'd probably be 4 or 5 until. Mm-hmm. So, because the one thing that happens is those who set targets too high or track too many habits, which is the most common, it kind of implodes or becomes self-defeating. They're not building up the habit strength over time. They're rushing the process. So you want to start with the bar very, very low.
I can understand that. Okay. So this is all making sense and I like it. We have this thing where we, I don't know if you know this, but I went really deep in some of my studies where I actually now am certified to hypnotize people. So I do a lot of hypnosis work. And sometimes when Jeff gets to the place where he's like, oh, I don't feel like it, I'm not motivated, I'll do a little bit of a reframe with him and, wow. You know, do the breathing exercises. Oh yeah, I hypnotize people every day. It's so much fun. Yeah, it's a blast. Let me know if you want one. I'll send you one.
Okay.
But like I do it to Jeff. Today I did a really quick one. It's like a 3-minute one. Because he was like, I don't feel like going to work, you know, COVID, and we just got back from Hawaii. So we're both pretty jet lagged and exhausted. And then like 3 minutes later, all of a sudden I see him with his laptop bag and he's hanging out the door. And he's like, yeah, apparently it worked. It's going to be a late night for me, babe. I'm like, Well, that backfired on me. And it made me think, you know, about some of the habits that we're tracking. And you said that a big thing is like we overwhelm ourselves with the amount of things we're tracking and thereby it implodes. And that was super relevant. How many should we be tracking at any given moment?
It's so funny. Just because I have so much data and so many email and it's just bizarre. So the short answer is no more than five. What I'm laughing about is I have, you know, emails and cases where people are like 30 and 20, because what happens is they have success. They love the idea. They can see the process. They feel the momentum. And then they're like, I should track that. And then they got 20 things and then boom, it's just overwhelming. So the idea is you're picking the five, at most three is ideal, that will help drive your single most important goal.
And this is what you do to do all those amazing things, run a company, raise two beautiful daughters, stay happily married.
primarily the funny thing is, that process was enlightening for those things, but no, I used it specifically for like, after I did the Catalina paddle, I was like, I've really always dreamt about doing an Ironman triathlon, but I've never done, you know,
you've done that too.
5K. So yeah, that was the next major goal. I used this exact process. And so I did ultimately, what did we do? Three fulls and then four paddles. But the idea is those are the major goals. And then, yes, I use the same process to write the book. And it's instrumental to helping entrepreneurs push through. It's not that it can't. It can certainly be used. I think you know the story. Really, when this was emerging in my personal life, I was in a forum in EO, and the entire group was asking, essentially, what's the process I'm doing to do some of these things? And I did a presentation, I shared it, and then one of the most powerful things happened. They all wanted to try it. And so for 1 month, everybody reported on their tracking, and the feedback was, I privately recorded it because I couldn't tell them I was going to record it. So it's totally out of form quorum, if you will. But I recorded it because I wanted genuine feedback. I didn't want to tell anybody. And it was mind-blowing feedback. And so we continued that for years, three, four plus years. And we would even break the form into teams.
Jeez.
So there was a little competitive habit game going on amongst us.
Well, now I'm in. Anytime there's competition, you should know this by now. I act like a sweetheart, but really I'll cut you to win. I love it so much. And obviously you have an app. Take two steps back to go a few steps forward. Somebody's listening today. They know there's something they need to change. What's your advice to that person who's in that moment where you were?
I'm going to ask you to please repeat that. I'm sorry. You broke up a little.
Yeah. And it's weird because there's like a clicky sound and like at times, but hopefully our sharks can bear with it. So give some advice to one of the sharks who's listening to the show, and they know they're at that place where you were when they want to sign up for something or they want to do something and they've just got to make that decision to go for it. What advice do you have for them who are at a crucible of a decision?
Another great question. Yeah, the biggest thing I see time and again, and I know I've been a victim of it many, many times, is overthinking. Yeah. So we want to know it's 100% for sure, that we can't fail. We want all the answers. We think now is not a good time because I got kids or a wife or a job that I may lose or a new business that I'm growing. And what we continue to find is whatever story we're making up and we're overthinking over and over tends to be the great inhibitor. So that's food for thought. I know somebody sitting there overthinking that, saying, well, sometimes, you know, the timing isn't right. And that is absolutely true. It's, in my experience, 5% of the time. So 95% of the time we're overthinking.
Wow. That's so relevant. That's so relevant. Thank you. And let's say they decide, you know what, start now, which, by the way, it's so funny. Yesterday on Facebook, somebody posted, you know, what advice do you have to build a brand and a personal brand? And so many people were chiming in. There's like 130 comments when I decided to. And wow. Some of them were so well thought out, beautiful advice, stuff that I wish I would have known when I began mine. And I wrote two words, just start.
That's
and
great.
The guy messaged me and was like,
one word. I thought it was going to be one word, start with an exclamation point.
No, just start. No punctuation needed. I don't have time for punctuation. And the guy messaged me and he goes, best advice of the entire column. And I was like, go team. So if you're listening, Sharks, wherever you're at, you're probably driving or you're at the gym, just start. Stop overanalyzing. And when you're ready to track your habits, Martin, where can they go to get your habit tracker?
So the free one, which is where I love to point people, is thehabitfactor.com/templates.
Templates.
It should be working if they just want to do the quick and easy thing and they want to get it via text. They can text the word habits to 33444. And finally, the iOS version has been updated, the free and the paid. We haven't quite done that with the Android yet, but in the iOS store, you will find a free version of the Habit Factor.
Heck yes. I love that you have an ability with text because I just texted it. Y'all, this is what happens when you text habits to 33444. Yeah, no, I just did it right now. And it says, awesome, reply with your email address and I'll send you the insider list plus send you the Habit Factor template.
So brilliant. Test it for me. Keep going.
Oh yeah. No, don't worry. You'll get all my info. thank you so much for coming on the show today, helping us out, giving them some amazing value bombs. So that way we're living a life that we're actually proud of. And that gives us a sense of fulfillment. Thank you, Martin.
Thank you so much for the invite. It was an honor and a privilege to join you and your audience. Thanks again.
All right. See ya.
Bye-bye.